At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Limits, let's go out to our friend and yours, Sean Gentile, who's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Sean writes for The Athletic, has written for many different publications, including the Post-Gazette. Sean, wonderful to have you. I hope you're doing well. How big a deal was the U.S. winning that world? Let me phrase it differently. The U.S. won the world championships the other day, which normally nobody really pays attention to. For the first time since like 1933, I think. What's the bigger deal, them winning it or Canada and Kyle Dubas losing to Denmark, whose best player was Hans Christian Andersen?
10,000% it was Canada losing. I don't even, like, where do you watch the World Championships? I think it's on NHL Network, which nobody gets anymore. Like, where are we supposed to even, or who do they beat? I'm a professional hockey, are they Switzerland or something?
I don't know.
Tage Thompson scored the golden goal. I saw that. Go Sabres.
Yeah, I did see that. And it was a big deal for them. But man, I spoke to a couple people that I used to cover hockey with in Canada, and it felt like a pretty big deal. It felt like Denmark's miracle on ice, and Kyle Dubas, this was not a good night for him to lose to Denmark, was it?
I think there's a wide range of outcomes that can take place when you rely on Jordan Binnington as your goaltender, and Kyle got a firsthand taste of that. Bennington's either real good or real bad, and you know, the result didn't work out for Dubas.
Man, I'll say. Meanwhile, he needs to hire a coach. What do you make of the search so far? What are some names that come to mind? I see people talking about Todd Nelson, who has worked in Edmonton, Dallas, other places as a popular candidate. What's going on here, and when is it going to happen, and who do you think it'll be?
I know Kyle was doing interviews like in Denmark and wherever they were, Sweden, Budapest. I don't know if they were bouncing around or what, to show you how much attention I paid to the World Championships. But I do know he was doing interviews there, at least doing some amount of recon. But yeah, I think to some degree the whole situation was on hold until I got back from that. So I'm sure it's ratcheted up to another level in the last, you know, couple of days, I suppose. Mitch Love is a name that really intrigues me. He's an assistant for the Capitals. So he comes from, Joe, I've heard you gas up Spencer Carberry at points over the last couple months, deservedly so. That dude is a great coach. I was on the Caps for the first two rounds of the playoffs, and he's a really impressive guy. I think Love, you know, gets a little extra shine because he's coming off staff for Carberry, but he was only there for a year. Mitch Love was a really, really good AHL coach for Calgary. He developed players. He, you know, is a personable guy. He's got a track record of taking young players and making them better. And he's a pretty hot name, and he hasn't taken a job yet. So I know people are talking about Todd Nelson. There's other names that are kind of searching, you know, surfacing. But man, if I'm Dubas, or if I'm really anybody who's trying to get a coach that's development focused and has success, you know, as a head coach professionally, man, Mitch Love would be my first call right now, I think.
Do you think Mike Sullivan is going to have immediate success and big success with the Rangers? Because I don't, Sean.
Look, a lot of money, a lot of years. It's all guaranteed. It's 5 years guaranteed, whatever the salary was. So it's all going to work out for Sullivan. But I'm not sure I would walk into a situation where my direct two superiors are Chris Drury and James Dolan.
Bingo.
So I was like, we can't do much. Like, we're workers, man. You can't do much other than try to choose your bosses. And I'm not sure, like, whatever. Money's money. I think Sullivan likes the idea of coaching the Rangers for sure. He's going to have a long leash, and there's a lot of good pieces there. But I don't know, man. I think taking a job under James Dolan is borderline disqualifying. Like, I don't think I have any interest in working for that guy, period. And Chris Drury, frankly, with the way he's handled plenty of stuff over the last couple of years, isn't far behind. So, yeah, he's got a goaltender. He's got some good pieces. He's got Adam Fox and, you know, whatever else. But that locker room was an ugly place last year. So he's got to dig through that. He's also got to deal with meddling from above, whether it's from the owner or from the GM.
Yeah, man, I'm on board with everything you just said. Limits, I wouldn't even dream of leaving you out of this conversation. Do you even know Sean? You didn't have his number earlier.
No, we've had a couple of conversations with him before.
What do you think of him so far?
He's a wonderful man. Yeah. He likes to call me Limits every time, so I know he's a frequent listener of the show.
Sean, any opinion on Limits so far in your brief and only phone-related relationship?
That didn't sound right. Fellas, like, this is not a joke. I've slept 4 days in my own bed since Easter because of the playoffs. I've been listening to your show even more frequently than I do when I'm at home, thanks to the wonderful Odyssey app. I am a fan. I am a supporter. I am slightly devastated, but not surprised that part-time Pomp is not present today.
Did you hear about intern Dom calling Pomp a moron?
Are you serious?
Limits, should we treat Sean to the audio of this?
Hold on
a second. So first we have Limits with the blatant disrespect of Bob's Will Howard opinion a couple weeks ago.
At least
Limits is cashing checks. He's a real employee of the station. You got intern Dom losing it now.
Yeah, the topic was greatest athletes of all time, and I said, is Shohei Ohtani, if this guy comes back and pitches, what are we going to do with that? And intern Dom brought up Tiger Woods, and then all hell broke loose, and this will finish with Bob storming into the studio. Here you go, Sean.
What about Tiger Woods?
That's a good one. Jack Nicklaus, some would say, is better than Tiger Woods.
Well, whoever says that is a moron.
Oh, my God. You just did what Limits did. You've insulted Bob.
I didn't insult Bob.
Yes, you did. He says Jack Nicklaus is better than Tiger Woods, and you just called him a moron.
Well, then I guess Bob doesn't know what he's talking about. Woo! Then, if that's what he's saying.
Oh, my God. Limits said that Bob's opinion last week was ridiculous, and it became an international story.
That did get a
you
lot
You just called Bob a moron.
No, I said that opinion is moronic.
Oh, no, you didn't. You said anyone who says that is a moron, Browser. The idea of college is to get a job. You have one. Don't go back to college. Bob, Dom just called you a moron.
No, don't. Joe, you're not starting something. Not a Memorial Day.
He heard.
Go ahead.
I had high hopes for him.
Did you hear that, Bob?
What is moronic about that take?
Because Tiger Woods, and now listen, I will admit that I defer to you both on this, but I'm just telling you from my perspective, nobody dominated their sport the way Tiger dominated golf.
You are so young, Dom.
So young,
Bob. And just because you saw what you saw doesn't mean what happened before you saw anything existed. It did exist.
Right.
He dominated.
The way Tiger dominated?
Better, more.
Better and more. Sean, your take on all that?
Does Dom still work there? Like, did you guys pack up his desk after? That bothered me. Like, that bothered me to hear.
Wow.
Oh, that didn't this just is... one up at Sean. That, like, four ups yeah. what I said.
Yeah, I mean, that was...
A hundred. Dude, I'm not kidding. I was listening live on my way back from Caps practice on the app when Limits and Bob had their little disagreement. That's something you come about organically. It was understandable, I think. Often, like, you backtracked appropriately and showed the right amount of, you know, deference, like, in the end. That is wild stuff. That's wild stuff. I'm not kidding. I did not like listening to that.
You're making me uncomfortable listening to that.
I will if we extend it, and I have to say on intern Dom's behalf that it ended nicely with Bob forgiving intern Dom. But I'll tell you, intern Dom did not back off. As
not
you
at
heard,
all.
He doubled down on that. So
where did he go to school?
He still goes to Syracuse. He's on the Carl Krauser plan. He's going back for year 8.
It's the Syracuse guys. They're egomaniacs. That school churns out take freakazoids who are never wrong in their own minds. We know this. You employ a couple of them.
Oh,
freakazoids.
Wow. What do you make of this development, Limits? He just insulted Pony, Tim Benz.
I think Pony was definitely in there taking a subtle
intern
shot.
Dom, without a doubt. Who else is from Syracuse around here?
That's a good question.
Bob,
I know
came,
there's a couple of more. There's
Bob came
more.
From Point Park. You came from Waynesburg, as did Donnie.
As did Jack Hillgrove. As did Callis.
They're very confident in themselves, Sean. I do agree there. Very confident. Sometimes overconfident.
They're not, here's what I'll say. They're not measured, reasonable, thoughtful journalists like are produced at the University of Maryland, obviously. There's a big difference there.
That's because they're all graduates of the David Morehouse School of Journalism there at Syracuse. Right?
Pass. I'm passing on that one.
All right. So your first move in the offseason, other than hiring a coach, which seems fairly important, if you're Kyle Dubas, what are you doing here?
Where do you start?
Eric Carlson, you could start there.
I guess
what we're starting with, Sean, is are you trying to win still or are you rebuilding?
No.
That's where I would start. And then your moves, you move accordingly.
That decision has been made. They are not trying to win. Now the question is, what are the first set of steps? The next set of steps you take towards, putting that quasi plan into action. Like the Carlson stuff's interesting because there was a lot of buzz around him coming out of the Four Nations tournament because he played well. He looked like the good version of Eric Carlson. So people are like, there's only a couple years left on this deal. He looks like he's still got some juice. Maybe they retain some salary. Like, we'll see what happens. And I'm wondering how much that's going to carry over into the offseason. The good thing for the Penguins, instead, this shouldn't matter for them in terms of adding to their roster, but it's good that it's happening on a macro scale, is that the salary cap is jumping up pretty significantly. It's going to keep jumping up. And players like Eric Carlson, who are overpaid at the moment, are not going to be in a year or two. Like, we're all going to have to recalibrate the valuations that we put on hockey players. Like, an $8 million defenseman or an $11 million defenseman today are not going to be $8 million or $11 million defensemen in a year or two. And I think that's going to help them in some regards, whether it's with Carlson or, knock, knock, Ryan Graves. Like, I think the salary cap going up is going to help them. And I'm interested in seeing how they, weaponize that for themselves over the next month or so.
Limits, did you ever get a question in?
No.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sean, how much input, and I know Sidney Crosby says that, he doesn't want any input in the coaching search. Do you think he should? Like, how much of a say should Crosby have in what goes on with the organization moving forward? And do you think when the time comes that he does retire, that he will stay with the organization in some capacity?
Oh, man. I don't think, Sid's never going to seek out that level of input as a player. Like, I take him at his word on that. Like, I know he said that to Yoey in Stockholm or wherever they were last week, where it was like, nope, not interested in it. And it seemed like he was maybe not thrilled with the implication. But if I'm Dubas or anybody making decisions, big decisions about this franchise, I'm going directly to Crosby and asking him for his input. I'm not waiting for him to ask. I'm not putting that on his plate. Like, I don't think that's a fair position to put Sidney Crosby in. Like, he's saying basically, if you want input, like, hey, we're open, give it to us. No, like, ask him pointed questions, see what his thoughts are. Maybe don't base all your decisions on that. But I think it's important that they do things with him on board and that they make decisions with, you know, his next couple years and his legacy with the franchise in mind, because this team's not going to be good. And I think things have changed over the last year, and I think there's potential for it to change even more over the next couple. So, yeah, ask him the question, get his input. Don't be unfair to him. Don't put too much on his plate. Don't make it his decision, but, you know, recognize the fact that he knows what he's talking about, A, and that B, his happiness and his future and whatever comes next for him in this franchise is important as anything right now.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Do you think if he gets the idea that they really aren't trying to win for a year or two still, that he would ever want out? Or is he determined to be a one jersey guy and have that be part of his legacy? Is that's important to him?
I still, like, even with how much of a mess things have become over there, like, I still find it really, really hard to believe that he would ever ask out. And it's an annoying thing to see, frankly, because, you know, whether it's Canadian media trying to wish cast him over to Montreal or Colorado or whatever, like whatever fantasy GM stuff, you know, they play, particularly in Canada. Like, I we're not there, but I think we're getting closer. Like a year ago or 6 months ago or whatever, I would have said, no way, absolutely not. One team guy idolized Yzerman, came up under Mario. You know, that's what his priority is. And also, he's like a total creature of routine. Like, if there's anybody on earth who would not adjust well to a move or just an organization where they just see even superficial stuff differently, it's him. A year ago, I said, no way. But I think now, especially if we're looking at another, you know, season where they're the sixth, seventh, eighth worst team in the league, I'm interested to see how he reacts to that.
Sean Gentile of The Athletic, couple more questions. So with Kyle Dubas, there's a wide range of opinions from people, media people in our town, basically worshiping this guy, calling him the future hero of the franchise.
Can I ask a question about this? Because I've heard you do this say that about Dubas. Like, how many people are we talking here? Like where are these people that are like these Pittsburgh people who are like worshiping the ground that he walked?
Well, at least a few and prominent ones, but the opinions range from that all the way down to somebody like PK Subban basically calling him a spectacle wearing fraud. Where are you on the spectrum of Kyle Dubas?
Oh, this is a boring answer. I'm in the middle. I don't think he's don't think he's a savior.
Okay.
But I also don't think he's I don't think he's a fraud. I think his track record with the Maple Leafs kind of attests to that. Made some good decisions, made some bad decisions. I think to some extent he's learned from them. Like, he's talked about that in various points. Like, he's learned from the mistakes he made with Toronto, specifically like some contract negotiations with some of their younger stars like Mitch Marner that didn't go the way that he wanted them to. So I think he's a better GM now than he was 5 years ago. But man, like, the track record is what it is. Like, he came in, he tried to win. He loaded up in his first month on the job where he trades for Carlson and he signs all these older guys. And, you know, it was clearly a case of him thinking they had one more run left in the tank, and none of the moves he made to, you know, even if whether you believe they were legit or not, none of those moves he made to turn them into a contender again paid off. None of them. So I think he has to wear that. I think there's stuff that happened, particularly in his first off season that has just completely backfired. But I also think he's done a pretty good job of digging out of his own hole over the last 6 months or so. It's a boring answer. Like, he's not the best GM in the league, and he's not a fraud.
So If I ask you a yes or no question, do you trust that he's the guy to bring the Penguins back to prominence? What would you say?
I do, but I don't think it's going to happen as quickly as maybe he'd like some of us to believe. I think this is a rebuild that's going to take, you know, unless they hit big and get lucky, maybe with a free agent or some kind of Rutger McGroarty style trade that, you know, blows up for them in a positive way. I think this is a 3 or 4 year job. And, you know, if you believe that's the case, then the Crosby timeline gets pretty fuzzy in a hurry. So, yeah.
I was just going to ask you another question, but Limits has piped in. I was going to get to the draft clock and whether that's become a place where people should be, you know, taking prom photos and graduation photos.
Where is that? Is that on the North Shore? Is that down by the bars?
Yeah, it's an official countdown clock. Where exactly is it?
I went to see it.
Is this what you were going to ask?
No.
Is it on the lawn?
No.
Is it by where the Bettis Steakhouse used to be?
Yes. Yeah. So it's in that area. It is right across from Akershire, right by Stage AE. You legitimately can't miss it. It's like 18 feet high, and it is so bright.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I went and checked out the draft clock.
I don't think I've been home since they put it up. So I know where I'm going as soon as this round's over.
Would you object to the idea of this turning into a landmark to the point where, like Mount Washington or, I don't know, the Cathedral of Learning, things like that, Point State Park, people want to take photos there? I believe Donnie and his fiancée, Sarah, are going to take some photos at the draft clock.
Can we get like some kind of really, once the draft comes and goes, can we sell like ad space on it for some like ambulance chaser attorney firm? Like,
sure.
Can we get something really embarrassing on there? Because that seems like the Mount Washington route.
I wouldn't think of not doing that. And the Post-Gazette story on the draft clock from a month ago quoted Duquesne University sports marketing professor Ronald Dick. Dr. Dick is quoted here saying that people from Boston, New York, Philly, D.C. very well positioned, according to Dr. Dick. So he thinks it's going to be a gigantic outpouring of road fans. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a fact. You look at what went on in, yeah, Detroit in particular a couple years ago. It's an event for out of towners more than the locals. And then also Pittsburgh is so, it's centrally located to so many other,
yeah,
NFL fan bases, right? You're going to have people from Cleveland and Detroit and Baltimore and DC and Philly and all those spots, like within a really easy drive if they want to. So yeah, we're going to see a lot of, I guess we need to prepare to see a lot of Instagram posts of an 18 foot yellow clock by, you know, whatever replaced Bettis. Limits. What's over there now? It's like a Kenny Chesney.
It's Jason Aldean's. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. It is.
Great. Yeah. Jason Aldean's place is there. The only Jason Aldean's places I think are Nashville and Pittsburgh. And I think they're putting a third one somewhere else.
So do you have, you want to round this out? Do you have a Dr. Dick based question for him or something different?
Well, I had a draft based question actually. I'm curious your thoughts, Sean, on if the Penguins ultimately land the golden ticket with McKenna next year, how quickly that timetable to contend could move up.
And what if they accidentally drafted Steve McKenna? Wouldn't that be horrible?
their average height would skyrocket.
He was a legend. Anyway, go ahead. Do you know he skated once on a line with Mario and Kovalev?
Yes. That's one of the, like, in the last possible moment he could have too.
Yes.
Like, after that moment, guys like him were incapable of playing in the NHL. So yeah, it was a shooting star. We're lucky to have witnessed it.
All right. What did you ask him, Limits?
Yeah. I asked about Gavin McKenna. Yeah. How could the timetable be accelerated if they were able to land the golden ticket in next year's draft?
I don't know much about like prospects is one of the elements of my job that I just like farm out to other people. I work with Corey Promin and Scott Wheeler, who are, you know, the primary experts in that space, I would say. But man, McKenna is good enough for me to pay attention to him. Like he seems like he's the real deal. So yeah, if they, whatever, they finish with a fifth worst record in the league and some, and you know, fall backwards into a bed of roses like that organization tends to, and end up with this guy, A, people are going to be furious, which is great. And B, I think, yeah, I think the timeline would accelerate, but barring something like that, where you get a legit, you know, Macklin Celebrini type prospect to come in and just change the overall outlook of it, man, I think it's going to be a long few years.
And if you're writing anything draft clock related, I know, Limits, do you have a number for Sean, Dr. Dick's number?
I might actually have Dr. Dick's number. I have to check.
I think I might. I'm like 90% sure I talked to him for a couple things.
Thank you, Sean.
I do have his number, yeah. If not, I'll share it.
Yo, you know this. Like, he's a dial-in expert. You love having people like that available where you're just like, hey, I need a quote about some sports.
He's great.
Thing. Like, let's go to someone on my phone.
Joe, how about this? I just looked at the contact page I have for Dr. Dick that somebody shared with me, I think, a year ago. I have a cell phone number for Dr. Dick, a work fax number for Dr. Dick, and a work number.
Three different numbers. Sean, Dr. Dick uses a fax? Who uses a fax?
Apparently Dr. Dick does.
What do you make of this?
Limits, do you have like an email for Dr. Dick that would be blocked by your work spam settings if you try to email it? Like,
not in my contacts page, no.
Do we have a Telegram number? We have any number of ways to contact Dr. Dick.
Do we have a carrier pigeon that can send him a message?
We're absolutely faxing Dr. Dick before the end of the show today.
Can we?
Do we have a fax machine capable thing here?
I've never sent a fax before.
When's the last time you sent a fax, Sean, or received one?
I sent a fax. I think I sent a fax when I put together a page of receipts for my expense reports to send to the great Linda Parker at the Post Gazette, who is in charge of all that stuff and without whom, you know, the building would completely fall down. I think I stapled a bunch of receipts to a piece of paper and faxed it at some point.
All right. Well, if we fax, we'll be sure to CC you on any faxes to Dr. Dick.
Please do.
All right.
Please do. I'm gonna go hit up a FedEx Kinko's in Raleigh when my flight lands there in a few hours and make it happen.
Enjoy Raleigh. What a place that is. I love that city. I do.
It's okay.
I really do. Great dinner spots, campuses all over the place. Wilmington's 2 hours away, a golf course right on Duke's campus. I love it there.
He was just hanging out in Fort Lauderdale where I was for the Orange Bowl earlier this year. Mm. Pretty fun there.
There's no off days in this series. It's game off. There's no 2 day breaks. It's game off day, game off day, game off day. So I haven't been able to do anything fun at all. I am staying at an airport hotel in Raleigh, Durham. And I would like to get the hell out of there as quickly as possible because people at home, one in particular, is starting to get frustrated with me being on the road this much.
Yeah, that hurts. Well, good luck.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks,
Bye, Sean.
Sean.
Nice man, isn't he, Limits? I hope you two have a long and productive friendship together.
Me too.